Two Feminist Mormon Housewives. I am your host, Cami, and we are continuing our Now series, Narrating Ordained Women. And we are interviewing people who have put their profiles up on ordainedwomen.org. We have with us a great male ally, Mark Barnes. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Cami. Well, I live in Woods Cross, Utah, which is just maybe 10 miles or so north of downtown Salt Lake. I'm an attorney here in Salt Lake. I represent the IRS, and I've done that for about the last 27 years, so about 3 years away from retirement, which I'm looking forward to. I have been a Mormon my entire life. Grew up here in Bountiful, which is right next to Woods Cross, and grew up in the church with a little different aspect that we'll talk about later, and that's that I also grew up in a very feminist household. But definitely a product of Mormon culture. I went on a mission to Japan when I was 19 and went to the University of Utah. Graduated in economics in 1982. Then I later went to the law school here at the University of Utah and graduated in 87. More recently, a couple of years ago, I got my pilot's license. So I've been really into flying lately and love that. I have four kids, all of whom are grown. My first three are boys. And then my last is my daughter, who's now 25 and working on her doctorate in psychology down in Phoenix. And I have four grandchildren. The three oldest are all boys. And then my youngest, who's just over a year old, is a girl. And learning how to walk and talk and all those fun things. So in short, that's me.
In short. Wow, I have so many questions. What law specifically did you graduate in?
Well, in law school, you don't necessarily specialize in law school, but started with the IRS right out of law school. So my entire career has been focused on tax law, also bankruptcy law for the last 20 years as well.
Okay.
And I guess one thing I did leave out is I also teach for the University of Phoenix. I've been doing that since 1998. I teach law, economics, and finance, and also a little bit of ethics there.
So, wow, there's so many ways in which I'm connecting with your life. My dad is a patent attorney, so that's that's why I was asking you about that. My ex-husband served in Japan as well.
Oh, okay.
And I'm attending University of Phoenix for my master's in psychology. So.
Oh, are you? Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
So we have some connections. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit, when did you decide to post your profile on Ordained Women and why?
Well, maybe I'll go back into the why a little bit first.
Okay.
When I was growing up, my mother and grandmother were very much, I guess you would call, feminists. My grandmother raised 15 kids, and my grandfather died in 1961. And so by the time I really remember her, she was this little old lady that lived in just west of Liberty Park in Salt Lake City. Mm. And in 1969, she ran for the state legislature. And so I remember being a kid and going door to door, handing out flyers for her campaign. And as she got involved in things with the legislature, my mother also became more heavily involved in politics and particularly in consumer protection legislation. Ooh. And she served on different committees for governors here in Utah in that area. But in 1972, early 73, but I think it was late 72, Congress passed the Equal Rights Amendment. And so my mother and grandmother were big advocates of the Equal Rights Amendment. My grandmother left the legislature just after that. But I've been told she was one of the original sponsors of legislation to ratify it in Utah. she did start an organization promoting the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment in Utah. And so some of my earliest memories are of my mother and grandmother working on those types of issues. I also remember my grandmother being ridiculed in Salt Lake newspapers by people who would write in and question her,
her legitimacy.
Questioning her devotion to her religion, that she would, advocate for the Equal Rights Amendment. And, you know, we went through similar things in our neighborhood with people who started rumors about my mother and things. Mm. And also, my mother was an advocate early on that women should be ordained.
Wow.
And I remember being just a little kid, and we would go to church every Sunday. And one Sunday, I guess my mother had a particularly bad run-in with a very conservative John Bircher type bishop that we had at the time.
Wow.
And hauling us out of church. And from that time on, she didn't go back to church on a regular basis. She would go to special kind of events, you know, like mm-hmm. my farewell or, you know, something like that.
Right.
But she wasn't really active after that, but she always would say, well, when they'll give me the priesthood, then I'll go back. But she, right. you know, of course, didn't live that long. So, was something that always stood out in my mind, that she had identified that very long ago.
Well, I think also she had just been given some respect. What I'm gaining from that story is I think the saints could have been a lot more saintly towards your mother, you know.
I think that's true, and I think we see it all the time. I mean, just on mm-hmm. Facebook, there seems to be, and it's probably a natural human reaction.
Our brothers and sisters have a different perspective, and we listen to it. We don't have to agree, but certainly we can have a community together just in understanding each other. So,
I agree.
Wow. That sounds like a really big feminist beginning for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. And so when did you post? Were you like actively involved right when this came out, or when did you post your profile?
Well, I mean, it came up in a discussion we had yesterday on Facebook, and I thought it was interesting timing since I was thinking about this podcast. But somebody said, well, you know, was there anything that you felt was providential about your putting up a profile or getting involved in ordained women? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, yeah, there really is, because I had in 1993, there was the September 6th.
Yes.
Incident. Yeah. And I had just gotten to know Paul Toscano just about the time he was going through some of that over in bankruptcy court. He became the Chapter 13 bankruptcy trustee here in Utah.
Yeah.
But it really sort of hit me at that time that people who held my sort of fundamental political beliefs were really being pushed out of the church. And I guess, I mean, it was no news that the church generally was quite conservative, but there always had seemed to me to be room. But there were, you know, people were actually getting excommunicated. That made it a lot harder to sort of stay. And probably for the next couple of years, I kind of bounced around between activity and inactivity, and mm-hmm. you know, was kind of a difficult time. But I'd sort of gone my way and not been active in the church, although mm-hmm. my kids, two of my children, were active, you know, all along.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fall of 2012, for some reason, I just started to get interested in things again, and I remember Joanna Brooks was on television talking about her book, and I read her book, and that got me thinking about, well, maybe there is a different way to be a Mormon now. Maybe you don't have to necessarily have the strict conservative, you know, orthodox views, but you can still have a place there. And I always liked church. I always liked the idea of associating with people and helping each other and having that camaraderie and, you know, and I had gone, before I, when my kids were very small and we went to church every Sunday, it was at the Japanese ward here in Salt Lake. And so I still had a lot of friends there and felt very close to the Japanese ward. So I started thinking about it in the fall of 2012 about possibly going back. And then I ended up, because I wanted to know more about Joanna Brooks, I found Mormon Stories. I started listening to their podcasts and things, and then other Blogger Knackle podcasts, including Feminist Mormon Housewives. And I think it was probably on a Feminist Mormon Housewives podcast. It wasn't about ordained women, but there was like a minute infomercial on the podcast saying there's going to be this launch event on April 6th up at the University of Utah for this group, Ordained Women. And I was standing at, it was lunchtime. I'd gone out for a walk during lunch, and I was standing at a corner waiting for a light to change. And I heard this little infomercial, and it just really hit me. I have to be there. I mean, this is something I want to do. And so I think I showed up an hour early for the launch event. I was really honestly, for whatever reason, kind of excited.
So excited.
And I ran into Jim, Kate Kelly's dad, and we talked for a little bit. And then Kate Kelly came walking along, and he introduced me to her. And I attended the launch event. And then I kept bugging Kate for afterwards, you know, I really want to get involved. What can I do? What can I do?
Wow.
And so then she gradually, you know, pulled me into different things. So that was kind of how I got involved in Ordained Women.
Wow. Your grandmother must be so proud of you. Wow. That's amazing. And what kind of response? I mean, you've had a different outlook where you weren't super active and then got involved. You came back because you found a place for you. So it's...
That's true. I was inactive, and it's Ordained Women that sort of has gotten me active again.
Isn't that amazing? I think it's, I hear this though a lot. I hear these different fringe groups and people poo-poo them in the church, but they don't realize they're actually activating some people that have no place in the mainstream Mormonism because they have different views. And I think it's great that it's pulling some people back in. So what kind of response have you had since posting your profile?
I haven't had the real difficult responses that somebody, some of the people have had, to be honest with you. I get just occasional things, and not a lot. A couple of days ago, I had a cousin that for some reason wanted to jump on something I had posted and, you know, call me to repentance, but those have been far and few between. But I feel fortunate that I come from a background where I don't have, you know, parents or immediate family that are so much, you know, upset by me being involved. And my kids have been great. I mean, they agree with me, I think, to varying degrees, but you know, my daughter came to the event in April. She flew up from Phoenix and attended it. And so I've had a lot of support. I currently go to the Japanese ward, and I don't think it's any secret there, since so many people are also on my Facebook that go there. And I've had a couple of people say a couple of minor things, and my response is, you know, look, we'll agree to disagree. It's not worth ruining a friendship over, and so far it's gone well. I haven't had much trouble there at all.
That's wonderful. Well, it sounds like you probably have more positive experience because now you're more involved, and I would assume, just because it's so wonderful to see a male ally, you probably have a lot of positive responses from women who are involved in this. Am I correct in assuming that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's become a real good group of friends. I mean, the people I've gotten to know from ordained women have been just wonderful. I feel very close to them and a lot of warm feelings. And to be honest, a lot of them kind of remind me of my mother and grandmother and, one, just how smart they are, and two, the courage that they have and the willingness they have to stand up for principle. I mean, all that is just wonderful for me. So I've really enjoyed getting to know everybody.
Probably feels like home for you.
It does. It really does feel like home.
So what kind of a vision do you have for ordained women and for its cause in the church?
I think really it's almost inevitable that women will be ordained. Yeah. I think that the way, things are developing in society as we move along, and the forces at work that have also given women more power in the society overall will result in either women become ordained and fully equal in the church, or the church becomes a fairly insignificant little, interesting splinter group, something like the Amish or something like that, I mean, I don't think that the church can remain mainstream and large and significant and still keep half of its population away from any sort of meaningful authority and power in the church. I just don't think that'll work.
And, I like the word responsibility, because I think sometimes we assume these women want to jump up and start like telling everyone what to do. And everyone I've talked to, it's all about sharing that responsibility, sharing the blessings, and being able to move things structurally and spiritually along.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Mark. We really appreciate you as a male ally and bringing your perspective and your voice. And I mean, I'm speaking for everybody, but I probably shouldn't do that. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. It's nice to hear. And I think your grandma and your mother are just probably applauding you along.
I'm sure they're behind me.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kimmy.